Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And today I feel like it's kind of the hot summer, you know,
yeah.
And I feel like I kind of stink. Do you pick up my body odor, my BO at all?
Sometimes if you've been outside riding your bike and you come in, you smell sweaty. Yeah, BO. That's a bad scent. That's an odor people have when they're sweating. Yeah, some days are kind of tough. We're in a very small room. But we're recording early in the morning today, so you smell great, Tom.
Oh, thank you. I'll stink later. So later in the day, maybe I might consider putting on some perfume.
No, only women wear perfume, remember?
Actually, I've worn perfume myself before, just because I'm afraid of having body odor.
No. Guys wear cologne.
I wear perfume. Because I have to go out and buy cologne, whereas my wife already has perfume, so
you
to
smell
save
like
money,
a girl?
I just use hers.
Oh, no.
I don't know necessarily if I smell like a girl or not. I'm not sure. I don't really know what I smell
you
like.
You know what you should wear is deodorant.
I could do that, too.
Yeah.
That's applied in your armpits.
Yeah, under your arms.
If you're afraid of smelling badly. But, yes, again, it's a good point. Perfume is mostly for the ladies, if not all for the ladies.
All for the ladies.
And this is our unit, or story today, and it's the history of perfume. Let's get to it. Let's read the first part of our lesson right now. It's the night of your big date, and you want to make a lasting first impression. To look your best, you got a haircut, bought new shoes, and adorned yourself with fine jewelry. But as you're walking out the door, you suddenly realize you've forgotten one important thing, your perfume. After a few sprays, you smell terrific and are ready to go. Perfume is a mixture of oils and scents that is used to improve a person's odor. Although no one can pinpoint the exact date when perfume was created, it seems that it's been used since the dawn of civilization. In ancient Egypt, priests would create perfumes in special laboratories constructed in their temples. When wealthy people died, their corpses were often sprayed with scented water just before burial. By the time archaeologists made it to Tutankhamun's grave, he had been dead for thousands of years. However, they found several jugs of fragrant oil still intact inside his tomb. Perfumes weren't solely for the dead, though. Egyptian kings and queens began wearing them in life as well. The famed ruler Cleopatra used perfume as an aphrodisiac to help her attract the most powerful leaders in Roman history, Julius Caesar and Mark Antony. In Islamic cultures, perfume is connected with religion. Muhammad encouraged his followers to put on musk, rose, or other fragrances whenever possible. Islam would also help facilitate the spread of perfume to the West. Arabic traders were able to offer a wide variety of perfumes because they had access to rare herbs, spices, and fragrances from around the world.
So today we're going to learn about the history of perfume. This is a word that you can pronounce two different ways. Some people say perfume with the accent or stress on the first syllable. And then you can also say perfume, which is closer to the original French word. So you'll hear both. I have friends who are foreigners who say perfume, and I have friends who say perfume. For the most part, I grew up saying perfume. Let's take a look at this. In our first paragraph, you can see we've sort of painted a scene or set up a scenario. Maybe you've been through this yourself, if you're a lady, that is. This sounds like a lady getting ready for a date to go out with a handsome guy. So it's the first night of, it's a night of your big date. So this is a day you've been looking forward to. And, of course, you want to make a lasting first impression. When you make an impression on someone, it means that's kind of the effect you have on them. They walk away thinking, oh, that person's pretty cool. Oh, she's very pretty, or he's handsome. Wow, she seems really smart. So you want to make a good first impression always, especially if you go, for example, to a job interview. You might only have one chance to have an interview with that person. So you want to make a good first impression. If it's lasting, that effect or influence you have on the person stays with them for a long time.
Right. That's what lasting means. It lasts a long time. Your first impression, that's from the verb to impress. To impress means you give somebody a good idea about yourself when you first meet them. There's good impressions and bad impressions. Mm-hmm. And, of course, if you're going out on a date, you might want to make a good first impression. And to look your best, you got a haircut, you bought new shoes, and you adorned yourself with fine jewelry. Okay, so this is probably talking about a lady here. The jewelry was the giveaway here. If you adorn something, you add things to it to increase its attractiveness. You can adorn yourself with jewelry or accessories. You could also adorn your office with maybe some nice pictures or some plants and stuff like that. Things that just make it look more attractive.
That's right. If you're decorating your apartment, I might use the verb decorate rather than adorn. But if you adorn yourself, it makes, it gives you this feeling that you're making yourself look really pretty. You want to look extra beautiful. Well, you might be walking out the door when you suddenly realize, uh-oh, I forgot something. What was that one thing you forgot? Oh, your perfume.
Ooh.
Oh, you've got to wear perfume on a big date, right? I once had a boyfriend who loved my perfume so much that he would ask me to put some on envelopes when I would send him letters when he was away. So it does have an effect on the men, I think. Especially if you pick something they really like. So, again, that perfume is just a liquid substance that really smells good. We usually put it on our wrists. We put it on pulse points, we say. Your pulse is where your heart is beating. So it gets a little warmer there. So on your wrist, maybe in the crook or the middle part of your elbow, behind your ears, on your throat, those are places we put perfume, ladies.
You probably wouldn't put it on your knees or on the tops of your feet.
No, behind your knees, some girls will too.
Oh, no, really? So it's kind of far away, huh?
Yeah, I've never heard of the feet before.
Okay, but I guess that you need to put it on where you think it's going to be most effective.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to overpower
the
other person. I've certainly been in elevators with women who had way too much perfume on. I thought I was going to gag. But anyway, she forgot her perfume here, the lady we're talking about here in the paragraph here, and after a few sprays, you smell terrific and are ready to go. Here, a spray, this is a noun. It's referring to when you push a button on some kind of bottle and a liquid kind of mist comes out of it. It's like a gas. I guess some people apply perfume that way, but I guess you're saying that you kind of dab it on your skin with your fingers.
Well, mine sprays too, but I'll spray it onto my wrist and then rub my two wrists together.
Oh, that's a cool way. Mm-hmm. My wife actually sprays it into the air
and then
walks through the air there, so it kind of spreads out over a larger area.
Uh-huh.
I do that myself sometimes as well. But in any case here, yes, this is one way to apply it, using a spray of perfume. Spray can be a noun and a verb here, like spray paint, for example. Graffiti writers like to use spray paint when they paint their tags, I guess they're called. And if you smell terrific after perfume, hey, you're ready to go. And terrific here just means really, really great, really wonderful. It's kind of interesting that terrific is based on the word terror, which means to be scared of something. But in this sense here, it doesn't mean scary. It means really great, really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what is perfume or perfume? It's a mixture of oils. So they blend or put different oils together. A mixture means you're taking things and combining them together or mixing them together. That's the verb mix. They're scents that are used to improve a person's odor. A scent actually is a noun, and it means a pleasant smell. Don't use scent if you mean something that smells bad. For example, I wouldn't say, oh, I hate the scent of stinky tofu.
Mm. Yeah.
For me, odor would be a better word. Odor is usually used when you're talking about things that smell bad, a bad smell, an odor. I looked this up in the dictionary, and it says a particular smell. But I have to say, when we use it, especially in speaking, it's usually a negative smell. It's a bad smell.
Right, but here, scent is nice. Aroma is another nice word for smells.
Or
the aroma
fragrance.
Of perfume, fragrance.
Fragrance, scents, those are all good, yeah.
And, of course, this mixture of oils and scents is used to improve a person's odor. I guess after a while we kind of stink after we've been working out and sweating and stuff like that. We'll start to smell, and it's not very appealing to other people, so we put on perfume. And although no one can pinpoint the exact date when perfume was created, it seems that it's been used since the dawn of civilization. Now here, pinpoint means to find the exact point or location of something, a pinpoint. A pin, of course, is a small metal object that is used in sewing, so the point is extremely sharp, and it's very, very small, so a pinpoint means an exact spot. So, yeah. I can't pinpoint the date when perfume was created.
Or if there's a fire and a house burns down, they might investigate the cause of the fire. If they're able to pinpoint the cause, you'll often see this in news reports. It means they find out exactly what caused the fire. They're very certain. So we can't really pinpoint or say when perfume was actually created, the exact date, but it seems it's been used or been around since the dawn of civilization. This phrase, dawn of civilization, is often used when we want to say from the beginning of time, from the time people started taking records or keeping records. Dawn, of course, is the early part of the morning when the sun is just coming up. So dawn here symbolizes the beginning of something. And civilization or civilizations are groups of well-developed societies. They have a writing system. They care about art and science. So they're pretty well-educated folks.
Yes, yeah, since the dawn of civilization. Dawn is the morning, as you said, the first appearance of light. And dusk is when the sun sets, from dawn to dusk. Actually, I knew a girl named Dawn once when I was young. I kind of had a crush on her, but she moved away. And we'll talk about that some other time, and we'll talk about the remaining portion of our article in just a couple of seconds. But right now, we're going to listen to our beloved Chinese teacher.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们看的是第三单元。好，今天要谈的是香水。香水呢，它的来源是什么呢？为什么会有香水呢？好，我们来看一下。首先呢，哎，这个开场非常的有趣。他说，哎，今天晚上你有约会哦，那你希望呢，是留下一个持久而美好的第一印象。哦，那怎么办？好，首先呢，你就哎剪头发，买新鞋，然后带上贵重的珠宝来装扮自己。好，说到这里，我们先停下来看一下。哎，这边前面说到 make a lasting first impression， 这个 lasting 是持久的。好，再来往下说 to look your best， 这个就是表示为了要呈现你最好的那一面。那再来还有一个片语 adorn yourself with fine jewelry， adorn 这个动词它原来的意思就是装扮、装饰、打扮。那加上 fine jewelry， 意思就是说，哎，你用精致的珠宝来装扮你自己。再来，我们继续往下看。可是啊，哎，这些之后，你就在你那步出家门那一刻，突然你发现忘了一件最重要的事，那就是香水。好，这就带入了我们这一篇文章的主题。那你喷了几下的香水之后，哇，闻起来实在棒极了，这样你就准备好要赴约了。好，所以我们要谈 perfume， 香水它到底是什么？这一段呢就告诉你，其实它是一种 mixture， 也就是混合物。什么跟什么的混合物呢？ oils and scents， 也就是油脂和香精这两者的混合物。当然你知道它的目的就是可以改善人的体味。那虽然说我们没有一个人可以精确的讲出什么时候发明香水的，不过大概说起来，在人类一开始有文明的时候，其实就有使用香水的记录了。这边我们注意到，他提到人类文明的一开始，他用到 the dawn of civilization。dawn 当然在一天的时刻里面讲的是黎明时刻，所以也就是一天的最开始的时刻。所以当你说是人类文明的黎明，其实就是说人类文明之初。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue to talk about the history of perfume. Again, no one can really pinpoint the exact date when perfume was invented, when it was created, but it's been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
In ancient Egypt, priests would create perfumes in special laboratories constructed in their temples. So this is in ancient Egypt, a very old country. A laboratory is a special room where scientists work. They conduct experiments, they do research, and they even teach there. And here's a place where they made these perfumes in laboratories constructed in their temples. And construct here just means to build something, usually a house or a building.
Yeah, or a bridge, something rather large. We use that verb when it's kind of a big deal to build it. Now, when wealthy people died back in ancient Egypt, their corpses were often sprayed with scented water. So they would take water, add perfumed oils to it, and they would spray it on the dead bodies. We typically don't like to say dead body. It's not very polite. So if someone has passed away, the remains that are left over are called their corpse. Please don't ever use the word corpse in front of family members or friends who have lost someone they love. We just say their body. But corpse is a kind of a medical scientific word for a body that is dead, you could say. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So after they died, they sprayed perfume on those corpses, or passively we can say the corpses were sprayed with scented water just before burial. Burial, of course, is the act of putting something in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's a body, but there could be other things that have burials. But here the bodies were buried. So that's burial. At funerals, you say the services will be at 10 a.m. and burial will be at East Lawn Cemetery at 1 p.m. or something like that.
Yeah. Well, by the time archaeologists made it to Tutankhamun's grave, he had been dead for thousands of years. They didn't discover his grave for a long time. So many, many, many years passed by, thousands of years, it said here, before they actually discovered it. What's an archaeologist? Well, he's a scientist, or she is a scientist, and they deal with learning more about past human life and societies way back long ago. A lot of times they're digging under the ground to find the remains of their tools and bones and evidences of ancient people. Those are archaeologists. The science is called archaeology. So here's this phrase, by the time. By the time just means the period of time when something happens. So when they made the discovery of the grave, he'd already been gone for a long time.
And made it here is from the verb to make it, which doesn't necessarily mean you've succeeded at something, like that old commercial, trust me, you can make it. I think they actually didn't say that correctly. It should have been, trust me, you can do it. But here, to make it means you arrive at some place after a difficult journey. So they made it to his tomb or his grave. They found it after looking for a long time.
Let me give one more example here of by the time. This is a phrase you're going to use when you're writing, but we say it a lot as well. We use it when we're speaking. I could say, by the time I was 18, I had lived in three different cities. So we use it to talk about the experience we've had at up to a certain point.
Yeah, it also all reminds me of an old song.
Yeah.
Glenn Campbell, remember him?
Yeah.
By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising. Go on the internet and look for that song, By the Time I Get to Phoenix. You probably know that song. You're from that part of the
Glenn
country.
Glenn Campbell. Yeah, I grew up in the Phoenix area, actually. Yeah, so that is a phrase you can use in your own writing, which will make it more elevated. It makes it sound more professional, you could say. So a grave is a place where we bury dead bodies. So they found his grave, and inside they also found something else, jugs of fragrant oil. Cool.
Jugs.
Yeah.
Like jugs. Yeah, jugs, of course, are containers. Big containers usually that have a small opening at the top, and they might include a cap or some kind of stopper. Something with a large opening at the top would probably be a jar, but here a jug has a small opening at the top, and those jugs had fragrant oil inside of them, and those oils were still intact. Now, let's talk about the word fragrant here first. It just means they had a pleasant aroma, a pleasant smell.
Yeah. Fragrant is the adjective form of the noun fragrance. Remember earlier we talked about fragrance and scent being similar. Those are positive ways to talk about things that smell good. So it was a fragrant oil. If something's intact, it's still together. I could say after the earthquake, most of the houses in my neighborhood were still intact. They were still one piece. They had all their pieces together. They weren't broken or damaged. A tomb is a very special building or a chamber. It can be above the ground or below the ground where a dead body is kept. So sometimes people who have more money, I would say, can afford to have tombs where their ancestors or their family members are buried.
Right, it's quite elaborate, much more than a grave. And perfumes weren't solely for the dead, though. Solely here just simply means only. Uh-huh. They weren't only for dead people. Egyptian kings and queens began wearing them in life as well. So living people actually were wearing perfume as well.
Okay, so we've got this person, the famed ruler, Cleopatra. She was a beautiful woman. A lot of movies have been made about her life because she was very interesting. Famed here just means she's famous. So famed is the adjective form, so is famous. It's also an adjective. She was the famed ruler. She used perfume as an aphrodisiac. An aphrodisiac is something that can be food or drink or even a drug. Here we're talking about a scent, a perfume, and it causes someone to feel extra sexy, and you hope that it attracts someone to you at the same time. That you're interested in, of course.
It will give you sexual desire and things like that. So, of course, people are looking for aphrodisiacs all the time. And she used perfume as an aphrodisiac to help her attract the most powerful leaders in Roman history, Julius Caesar and Mark Antony. She had kind of a fling with Caesar, but she spent most of her time with Mark Antony. But she got in trouble because of that.
She did. Let's talk about the Islamic culture. In their culture, perfume is connected with religion. So their leader, of course, is named Muhammad. Muhammad encouraged his followers to put on musk and rose and other fragrances whenever possible. He really encouraged this. So musk is a type of scent that is more earthy. If I describe musk, I think of things that belong to the earth, like bark. Musk is often used by women, but most often I find men who like musk. It smells more masculine to me, at least. Rose would be more feminine, something women would wear. Islam is the religion of these followers of Muhammad. They would facilitate, this religion facilitated the spread of perfume to the West. To facilitate something, you make something easier, you help cause something to take place. So they're the ones who helped bring perfume to the West.
Yes, to facilitate, to make something happier or easier, I should say. And I just wanted to add musk here. It's actually from the musk deer. It's a deer that secretes this kind of thick liquid. And now people use it as a fragrance. And as you said, it's mostly for men, although I've never worn it myself. But I guess in Islam, Muhammad encouraged them to put on all these different kinds of fragrances to facilitate the spread of perfume to the West. That's also what Islam did. Arabic traders, I should say, were able to offer a wide variety of perfumes because they had access to rare herbs, spices, and fragrances from around the world. Herb is what I say. Some people say herb. I say herb for some reason. I guess most Americans say herb and the British people say herbs.
No, it's the opposite.
Oh, it's the opposite. Okay.
The British say herbs and Americans mostly say herbs without the H.
Okay, then I said it right according to
you
American
did.
Pronunciation. And again, they wanted to offer a wide variety of these perfumes. A wide variety means a big choice, lots of different things to pick from. So, hey, not just two or three little bottles of perfume, but several dozens of them.
Now, if you have access to something, it means you can get your hands on it. It's available to you. And they were able to come up with all these rare herbs, spices, things that smell good. And so they used those in their perfume. So that's why they were so well known for selling and trading these perfumes to the West.
Absolutely. That's it for us. It's time now to turn things over to our Chinese teacher.
好，那我们继续来看这个香水它的使用，它什么时候开始其实没有人知道，但是至少我们就古埃及的时候，当时的祭司们他们就会在特殊的实验室里研制香水。好， laboratory 这个字就代表实验室，不过这个实验室是盖在哪里呢？你看它后面接了一个 constructed in their temples， constructed这很明显是一个过去分词，换句话说，本来应该如果改成子句来讲，就是 that 或者是 which were constructed。好，是被盖在哪里？是被盖在他们的这个圣殿当中。那如果有钱人他过世的时候，他们的遗体在埋葬之前就会被撒上这种有香味的水。再来他提到了到了那个考古学家们他们抵达图坦卡门陵寝之前，这个埃及法老已经过世好几千年了。那不过我们先看一下这个文法的重点哦，在这边有一个 by the time， 我们用到这个偏语的时候呢要特别留意 by 这个介系词哦，提到后面时间它往往是指一个截止线，那用这个截止线来说明一个事情的发生，往往要用到的注意的时态就是这个事情发生之前已经完成什么动作，所以它往往会用完成式。以这个地方如果是用过去的时间线当点的话，当截止线的话，它就会用过去完成。这就是为什么你看到这句话里面 He had been dead for thousands of years。好，这明显的就是过去完成式。继续往下读，下面又说到了，不过呢我们会发现说在他的陵寝里头啊有好几瓶完好无缺的香油， intact 就表示完整的，都没有被破坏的。那香水呢其实并不是只用在死者的身上，那埃及当时的国王跟王后其实在日常生活里面他们也用香水，那当然最有名的莫过于埃及艳后，大家应该看电影也听过他的故事， Cleopatra 这个就是埃及艳后他的名称名字。那他呢当时用香水来做什么？是当做催情剂。好，这个字比较少见， Aphrodisiac 就是指有催情效果的催情剂，那当然就是为了要帮他来吸引有权力的领导者凯撒大帝还有马克安东尼。下面这一段就要说了香水呢不只是在古埃及而已，其实在 Islamic cultures， 也就是说伊斯兰教的文化里或者是回教文化里面，香水它竟然跟宗教也有关。怎么说？其实我们知道伊斯兰教里头穆罕默德他是鼓励他这些信众们可以用麝香、用玫瑰还有其他的香水把它涂在身上，那回教徒们呢他也间接的让香水给传进欧洲了。好，我们看到后面就提到是怎么一回事，当时呢阿拉伯的商人们他们呢会提供各式各样的香水，因为呢他们有管道可以取得世界各地的这些稀有的草本植物香辛料或者是香料。好，当然这就告诉你怎么样传到欧美，让香水也在欧美被使用。不过我们要留意到几个重要的字汇，比如说 facilitate 这个动词就是使什么变得容易，或是让什么可以做到可以达成。那再来呢另外一个重点就是A wide variety of， 这个片语就是代表各式各样的。那最后一个字就是 access， access 它代表管道，那后面要加一个介系词 to 表示有什么的管道。
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us, and we're going to continue talking about perfumes in our next program. Please join us then. For English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.